And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we have some fascinating information for you today. You know, the last couple of days I've been sort of closeted at home with a book by my very good friend, Michael Collins Piper. Now, Michael was supposed to be on this program, and he couldn't be on it because, well, he was in the hospital, and he's got a clot, blood clot, in his leg. And it was, very important that they get that blood clot dissolved, and I'm sure he's taking blood-thinning medication and so forth so that it wouldn't go and give him a heart attack or maybe some hemorrhage of the brain. And I understand from the folks there at American Free Press where he works, he's doing good. In fact, they told me that he's doing so good that one time he did a little jig in the hall there. Well, he must be doing good, but he's still in the hospital now. And so I'd appreciate if you'd pray for Michael Collins Piper. You know, Piper wrote the book Final Judgment. You know, after about 100 books had been written about the JFK assassination back in 63, he did one called Final Judgment. And I really think it was the final judgment. Now, there are many books out there that add details and, you know, give you the background, and you can find out a lot of information about him. I appreciate it. My good friend Jim Mars has a great book out about the JFK assassination, as does another good friend of mine from down here in Kerrville. Galen Ross wrote a great book. Jim Mars wrote a book. But I'll tell you, this book that I've been reading, I think beats them all. This book is sort of an unheralded paperback. And Michael Collins Piper keeps coming out with them. We've been offering this a couple of months, but after reading it over the last couple of days, I just couldn't put it down because it has so much information in it. And it's not only about the JFK assassination. That's only the beginning. Of course, I believe he is the expert on that. Michael Collins Piper is. Now, the title of this book is False Flags, Template for Terror. False flags. We're all worried about another false flag occurring. Well, what is a false flag? We're going to get into that today. That very term, by the way, was coined by Michael Collins Piper. Michael Collins Piper coined the term false flags. And in this book, he shows that there is a certain kind of template for terror. There's a covert model that's used by the conspirators. We're talking about, in this case, the U.S. government. Now, I'm not talking about the post office or your tax returns. You know who I'm talking about. The rogue agencies, the FBI, the NSA, the CIA, and so forth of the federal government. They orchestrated 9/11. They did with their man, McVeigh, and Nichols' help, the Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, they murdered a woman and her, you know, at Ruby Ridge. They murdered JFK. And they're responsible for the children who died at Sandy Hook and for the Boston bombing. Now, I'm not saying that the conspirators did not include McVeigh, Lee Harvey Oswald, or Mario Lanza, or whatever his stupid name was, the guy that was brain dead, that perhaps did Sandy Hook, nor the Boston duo from Chechnya, the Russians, that we were supporting with our welfare monies, who did Boston. But I believe these people were all manipulated. They were all manipulated. And this book is fascinating because it really tells you that there is a template for terror. Now, what is a template? A template is something that, you know, you lay it down first and then everything you put into it. It's like the jigsaw puzzle. You already make it up in advance and you cut out your pieces. Then later you come back and lay them in. And when it's all done, it's all finished. It's a mosaic that looks like maybe the flag of the United States or, you know, something like that. A template. Now, my wife knows templates because she's a sewer. And when I mentioned template, right away, her little eyes lit up. Because she's been a sewer for so long, and she gets on that sewing machine, and, boy, give her a template. Even without a template, she'd do it with her own imagination. She's really good at that. She just enjoys it. And, oh, my goodness, the sewing machine people, they know when she's coming. There's Wanda. Let's sell her the newest little gadget, you know. And she'll come home and say, see this thing here? This can do ABC. Well, how much did it cost? $49.95. Ah! Just a little piece of metal or plastic or something. But I'm not, you know, Jerry, we have these little conversations. And Wanda, she doesn't know it. You know, she doesn't know. Nah, she doesn't know. But she knows what the word template means. Template. It's a model. It's a pattern that you use. Now, Michael Collins Piper, in this book, False Flags, later on we're going to tell you how to get this book, he tells you what is the template for each of these events. JFK, Oklahoma City, the World Trade Center, 9/11, even before that, the 1993 incident. I believe it was 93 at the World Trade Center. Each one of these had a certain pattern to follow. And they tell me something very, very hideous about America. They really do. They tell me something horrible about the American system. Now, I was raised, and you were raised, folks, with the belief, with the understanding that we had the most honest government, the most truthful government, the government that could never do wrong, the government that always protected and defended the citizens of the United States. We were an exceptional, I mean, we were almost God's chosen, weren't we? We couldn't do any wrong. No matter what war we fought in, we were on the right. No matter what battle in that war, we did the right thing. Our soldiers are all heroes. We don't have one heel in the whole bunch. And when we were told somebody did something wrong, you know, whether it was, you know, the guy that in My Lai and William Calley in Vietnam, we just couldn't believe it. No, 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 no. That's not true. Not an American. He would never, no American would do that. Then when we were told, well, they have done it all the way back to the Philippines at the turn of the century. Wow. When I read a book by General Smedley Butler, one of the most famous generals of any branch of service back in the 1930s, his book was entitled War is a Racket. He said he's fought all over the world in American uniform. For this corporation and that corporation and this corporation. He never really fought for the American people, though, you see. This, you'll have to get the little book, War is a Racket. Maybe we'll offer it through the ministry or something. But it's a little bitty book. It's only about 70 pages long. He was a very patriotic man, but he realized toward the end of his career, and I think he was in the Marine Corps like 45 years or something. He never did anything for America. It was always for the American Fruit Company or this corporation or whatever. Well, in this book, you're going to find out that virtually, every terrorist operation in our lifetimes, and maybe before, I'm quite old, you see, but every terrorist operation has been done by governments, and principally the U.S. government. Now, if you've lived long as I have and you've lived to see the Cold War era, you somehow have the impression, as I did, and listen, I'm I was the biggest fool in all these things for many years. I was in U.S. Air Force blue uniform, and everybody believed that. I mean, they had us down pat. I mean, they would take you into the Air Force or the Army or the Navy, and they would put you through the Academy, West Point, or the U.S. Naval Academy or Air Force, and train you. And all the literature that I saw was just terrific literature. Even all the secret and top secret documents. It all seemed to be in line, all in gear. Until actually during the Vietnam War era, it began to break out of its mold. You know, the Pentagon Papers came along. Wow, I thought that guy, boy, he should be hung for putting out all that information. But then I read the information, I said, wow, the people who did it should be hung. This guy ought to be given a medal. The same thing goes for Mr. Snowden, who recently exposed the NSA, the National Security Agency, or a little bit of it. I mean, just a little, you know, 2% of the horrors that they do. He stirred up a hornet's nest, and now he's looking for a place to live. He's the man without a country. They want to put him in prison. Why? Because he's a whistleblower who told the truth. But he only told a slight little bit of it. There's a whole mountain more out there. You know, in my book, Project Lucid, I still go back to that book and I say, that is the most astounding book by Tex Mars. It is an incredible book that I had the privilege to write, Project Lucid. L-U-C-I-D. It was everything that's going on now with the National Security Agency and all of these groups and what they were plotting on us 20 years ago. It's an amazing book, Project Lucid. It gets down into great detail, and I have an appendix there of a court suit against the National Security Agency about how they were designing biochips to put in human brains and to control individuals, and they were experimenting on them and doing all these things, and they were able to control populations with brain chips and other devices. And I had letters to me that said, you know, from intelligent people, lawyers, attorneys, doctors, college administrators, they said, I'm not so sure that the National Security Agency even exists. I've never heard of it. And those other agencies you have in there. The satellite group. You're saying they're watching the American citizens all the time with satellites? You're saying they're going to have drones to watch all of us? You're saying they're watching, they're recording all of our telephone conversations right now? That's impossible. They can't be recording hundreds of millions of conversations and cataloging all of them. They can't know every, you know, email or whatever you send out. That would be a monolithic, a huge, gigantic, it would cost billions of dollars. The building alone would be as big as the Pentagon. It would. Well, it is. I had a picture in the book of the National Security Administration at Fort Meade, Maryland. But they've got a bigger place now. I mean, they're fixing to open it up in Utah, out in the desert there. Gigantic complex. They're constantly building Big Brother's New World Order. And it's just, and you know, President Obama this last week had to come before the U.S. people and say, well, I've listened to everybody on the National Security Agency and everything, and I've decided to implement a few new stratagems to make sure that everything is uppity. They're going to still record everybody. They're going to still take your emails, but they're not going to keep them. They're going to turn them over to another agency outside the government. and they're going to keep them. That'll ensure your privacy. Oh, yeah, that's just what we want. We want AT&T or Verizon to keep them all. As if AT&T or Verizon was not controlled by the U.S. government. Come on, folks. The United States government has founded every major high-tech corporation, and they have taken over many of these things. Many of them, they have actually gone in and taken them over. Who do you think really founded Facebook? Do you think a young college man named Mark Zuckerberg did it from some garage on his weekend? Who do you think founded Dell Computers, another fellow who was a college student who did it, you know, on the weekend in his dorm room? How about Google? Do you really think those young men got together and created the software that became Google? And now they're developing the robots that are going to run the world? Do you think Amazon.com came along by accident? These are gigantic corporations, and every one of them is run by a Jew. Uh-oh, I said the J word. How is it that 2% of America's people, because only about 2.5% are Jewish, run every one of the largest corporations in the world? Twitter, Facebook, Google, you name it. I mean, they control all of them. It came out recently that the National Security Agency, all of this data, incredible amounts of data, was first being sent. They've got cable systems, the communication systems. All of this stuff is being sent to Israel. The raw data, all of the intelligence information that goes into the national security banks, this gigantic, I mean, you know, they used to talk about the beast computer at NATO headquarters in Brussels, Belgium, numbered 666. I used to laugh about that. There was a giant computer system there. Of course, they needed one, but it wasn't numbered 666, but these prophecy writers got everybody all a flare over that. But the National Security Agency, most people didn't even know about it. A general runs the thing, of course. And Israel sees all the raw data. They know what's happening in the world. They've got the telephones of every world leader tapped. There is nothing. There is no phone or communications network that is secure in this world. And there never will be again. Unless we just close down the doors of these organizations. But they're a bunch of filthy liars, and they'll tell you, oh, we closed down the doors, and they'll just keep right on running. Now, these spy agencies have their black budgets. How do they get these billions and billions of dollars to create all these systems? From you and me. Of course, it's the United States citizen that foots the bill for the whole world. They know what Angela Merkel, who she talks to. I'm sure her refrigerator, her ice, her oven, her stoves, her air conditioning systems, they know what temperature she sleeps in. They know what kind of house coat she wears in the morning. They know whether she's got her hair in curlers or whatever. She's the president of Germany. She has no privacy. They know all about her. And they're getting it all in. They built a dossier on her. They know all of the dirty stuff, too. I mean, Congressman Wiener of New York, they knew all that stuff about him. They had him down. He's a pervert. They had it all down. They knew what he was. They laugh about it. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover had this stuff. How many years ago was it now? 50, 60 years ago? He had stuff on Martin Luther King you wouldn't believe. He had gone into Martin Luther King's hotel rooms, put devices in there. They had all their wild sex parties with Martin Luther King and his women, white women, black women of all things, Then they had all their homosexual parties. Martin Luther King was a big homosexual. Everybody around him was a homosexual. What does that tell you about Jesse Jackson? Well, what can I say? Jesse Jackson was one of his top assistants at the time. Ralph Abernathy, one of MLK's top people. In the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, their group has admitted all of this in his autobiography. And he said, I am a homosexual. And he insinuated that he and Martin Luther King had relations together. Of course. And everything Martin Luther King said was given to him to say. He had a Jewish ghostwriter, author, whatever you have to say. He didn't say anything unique. He didn't write anything unique. He was just a figurehead. And now he's, you know, got the biggest statue. But in Washington, D.C., and he's a hero, and he's got his own day that we all worship him or whatever. Well, I don't, but I doubt if you do too, but a lot of people do. Now, did he do some good? Yeah, he did some good, but they knew all about him. They knew everything that he did, and they decided to kill him. They said, this guy's too dangerous. Who do you think decided to kill him? Some little ex-convict shot him on that balcony? No, of course not. Who do you think killed John F. Kennedy? Was it really Lee Harvey Oswald? Come on. Now, False Flags is going to shock you. I think it's the best book on conspiracies that there is. It will tell you all the conspiracies. It names one after another, after another, after another, that we now know because the documentation has been released. We now know what all Israel has done. Now, let me put it this way. The Soviet Union during the Cold War era was a failure. They did collapse. They collapsed. Their industry collapsed. Their military collapsed. Their morality collapsed. Their school system, their education, everything collapsed. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, they forgot God. That's the reason it happened, he said. They forgot God. Well, they did remember God. They mocked him all the time. They took him out of their textbooks, which is what we're doing today in America, mocking God, taking him out of our textbooks, taking him out of prayers. We can't even have a statue up or a monument of some kind. The atheists are saying, we want to put up a statue with Baphomet as Satan. We want to put that up on the Capitol grounds. We have as much right as the Christians do. Well, if we were a majority nation, then the Christians would just do it. But they say we're a democratic nation, the majority rules, but then they say, but you're the majority and we won't let you rule. So they twist it back and forth. Oh yeah, you're a majority, but you've got to let the minority win every time. What's that all about? Now the entire terrorism operation in the whole world is run by the United States of America. The whole apparatus. Now, we used to read in Europe, back in the days of the Cold War, of bombings. A bombing at this restaurant, that restaurant. Some of them, we were told, were done by the Red Army. Germans that wanted to have a communist government in West Germany. Now it turns out that the West controlled the Red Army. We were doing all those bombings and terrorist acts. Then there's all the Italian and Spanish terrorism that was going on. Now we know that the United States and Europe had an operation called Operation Gladio. And we performed hundreds of terrorist acts. When you read about some aircraft being hijacked by some Arab terrorist, that was always baloney. It was always an American operation, an Israeli Mossad operation, and we control the whole thing. Friends, let me just say something to you. I'm going to say something bad about Russia and about the Arabs, that people in the know understand what I'm talking about. Russia and the Arab world are defunct. They couldn't get 19 Arabs and put them together to do 9/11. They're incompetent. In fact, the whole United States government, Israel, almost got caught. We know. The Patriot movement knows that it didn't happen like George W. Bush lied about. The Arabs are pikers. They're not involved in this terrorism hardly at all. And when you read of something that a Arab terrorist did, just scratch out the words Arab terrorist and say U.S. directed. We want the Arabs to look bad. So we spread all these rumors and lies. And we blame everything on our enemies, which is right now the Arabs. There's a war against the Arabs. Of course, it's not against the Muslims hardly anymore. Israel wants it to be against the Muslims, but our government says, no, let's give them a break and just have it against the Arabs. The United States is the mastermind. Listen, I want to give us credit. We won the Cold War against Russia. Our intelligence operation was 100 times as successful as the Russians. Everything was blamed on the Russians, and it was always us doing the bombing, doing the terrorist acts, doing the horrors, doing the kidnappings. It's very rarely that it was, done by the communists. I'm not defending the communists. I'm just saying they didn't have any power. They were not omnipotent. We would pretend that, the KGB was everywhere, doing everything. Now we find out it was always the U.S. government doing it, making it look like it was the KGB. Did you know there's a man, a professor, Cass Sunstein, Jewish, of course, in the White House right now today? Do you know what his job is? It's to take all of these conspiracy theories that are out there on the internet and turn them against each other. It's to abuse you and me using the internet. And the Army has its equivalent, and the Air Force has its equivalent. All of these groups have their equivalents, the FBI, all of them. And they blame things on patriots, on nationalists, on people like Tex Mars, on you, that you don't have anything to do with. And there's a White House operation run by Cass Sunstein that directs all these activities. Now, Michael Collins Piper, in his book False Flags, talks about what Sunstein did in Sandy Hook. They make up conspiracies and throw them out there, and you believe in those conspiracies. Some of them, Michael Collins Piper, he's a conspiracy man, but he doesn't believe in half of what he reads out there. And I don't either. And many of these radio shows are by fakes. They're all fake patriots. The government is funding them all. It's all part of the false flags. It's all part of the intelligence system. And it's got Americans, to use the old saying, I'm sorry to use it, but we're confused as termites in a yo-yo. We don't know who did what, when, where, how. But we're going to take a little break now. When we come back, we're going to look at this issue of false flags, and we're going to specifically look at some of the things that have happened, JFK, 9/11. And we'll see whose bloodstained hands are involved in these terrible incidents. And it always traces back to Israel and the United States. The Mossad, the CIA, National Security Agency, and other groups. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll return in just 1 minute. Hello again, folks. I'm Tex Mars, and I want to tell you a little bit about False Flags, Template for Terror. It's a new book by Michael Collins Piper. And I'll tell you, Michael keeps putting them out. This could be one of his most important books. This book is, I call it a sleeper, because it is the most thorough book on the JFK assassination, on 9/11. You'll discover about Hunt, E.L. Hunt, and the other, Frank Sturgis and the other JFK conspirators, Jack Ruby, Lee Harvey Oswald, and all that. Really, what were they all about? And you'll see that in every one of these horrible terrorist operations, whether it was JFK in November of 63, whether it was the USS Liberty ship, or the 1993 World Trade Center bombing of the Blind Sheikh, or the 9/11 or Oklahoma City bombing. All of these things have been done with the understanding and the advanced knowledge of the Mossad. At one stage or another, the Mossad had their ham hocks involved. And the United States government, of course, is complicit in all these things. We have worked with the Mossad. We have given billions of dollars to Israel to build up its intelligence forces around the world. And as you know, the Mossad has a motto. It's called "By Way of Deception." That's what they, and they continue it all the way up to the 9/11 type incidents. Now, one of the things that this book is so vital for is that Michael Collins Piper stresses that it is not how an accident occurs, but why. I mean, we can go into the JFK assassination and we can study it for years and years, and we can find out all of the minutiae, how this happened and that happened, and this person did this, this nation did that, this secret organization, this group did this, and it was on this street in Dallas, and blah, blah, blah. You can learn all in the minutiae, and they will not tell you why it was done. We must ask ourselves why something is done. And it's interesting, too, that not every operation, not every terrorist operation happens just the way the government thinks it's going to happen. You know, there are unintended consequences, and there's cover-up operations going on. And 9/11, this certainly was true. Many people said, wait just a minute, this is strange how this happened. Oh, well, we'll have a 9/11 commission to look into it. And Henry Kissinger will be the leader of that. Well, right away, people said, Henry Kissinger, he's a conspirator in a big, big way. We don't want him. Okay, well, not Henry Kissinger then. It'll be Governor McKean. And it'll be, you know, all... This is what they do, you see. They throw their own people in these commissions. Of course, after the JFK assassination, Lyndon Johnson, the reigning president, who had been vice president, said, well, just to make sure the American people are satisfied, we're going to have a commission. Earl Warren, the Supreme Court Justice, will you lead this commission? Of course, old Warren, the 33rd degree Freemason, said, of course I will. And it was all decided that they would find the culprit to be Lee Harvey Oswald, and they made all the evidence point right to him. One of the members on the Warren Commission, of course, was Gerald Ford, the congressman, who later was rewarded by being made president of the United States. So that tells you can go far. One of the men involved in the Warren Commission was the counsel from the state of Pennsylvania, the senator, Arlen Specter. He was not a senator at that time, of course. He was just an attorney. But they needed a little bit of evidence. They couldn't come up with, they couldn't figure out how so few bullets did so much damage and created so many holes in so many places. So he came up with a theory of the magic bullet. The bullet went through Kennedy's brain, and then it made a left turn and went through something else. Then I think it went through a Governor Connally's elbow. Then it made a right turn and went over to this bullet kept, you know, just changing directions in the air. The magic bullet theory. Well, everybody thought it was stupid and all that, but the American people seemed to, you know, buy it. And Arlen Specter was made U.S. Senator. I mean, think about that. One guy becomes president, Gerald Ford. The other guy becomes U.S. Senator. Not only that, they made him head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Wow. You get rewarded for things like that. They even had a Pearl Harbor Commission. Oh, yes, they had a Pearl Harbor Commission. And who do you think ended up being the head of the Pearl Harbor Commission, the chairman? Why, he was head of the Freemasons in America, Scottish Rite Freemasons. He was the Grand Wizard. You can just call him that. The Grand Wizard of the Masons became the guy that looked into the Pearl Harbor. Of course, what he found out was it was exactly like FDR said it was. Okay, this book, I think it's an amazing book, and you'll love it. It's just got all kinds of information, things I'd never thought about before. You know the deathbed confession of E.L. Hunt? Oh, yes. They say that he admitted everything on his deathbed. This former CIA agent, Edward Hunt, E.L. Hunt. He didn't. And so one of the things that Michael Collins Piper does is he blows away all these fakes. Yes, E.L. Hunt did have a deathbed confession. And there were so many mays in there, or possibly, or could have beens. I mean, you know, oh, man. You know, you could just take your janitor, your maid out, and they could give the same kind of confession. Were you there? Well, I could have been. Did you help to kill JFK? Well, perhaps, but not probably, but yes, maybe. Anyway, there are all of these possibilities that are thrown out because Michael Collins Piper gets right to the heart of it. He finds out the Mossad links. He finds out which agency of the U.S. government. And I'll tell you, you know, he has always been a master at getting at information. And well, that's why he does it. You know, friends, the September 9/11, let's just call it 9/11 attacks, were said to have changed America in a thousand different ways. We have become a new nation, a horrible nation, a nation where the government watches us 24 hours a day. We'll become a police state, a Big Brother establishment, all because of these 19 hijackers. Or were there 19 hijackers? In fact, were they really Arabs? And if they were Arabs, why is it that 17 of the 19 were said to be Saudi Arabians? Why did we start a war with Saddam Hussein in Iraq? Why did we start a war with the Taliban in Afghanistan when almost all the terrorists came from Saudi Arabia? Those are just little questions you may want to think about. False flags, template for terror. Each terrorist operation has a specific operation, and they all come down basically the same pattern, the same path. And you can see these things happening. I mean, when Sandy Hook occurred, when the Boston bombing occurred, I could see the same patterns. I could see the template, and I just laid everything in, and I could tell who was responsible for those horrors. False flags. Template for terror. For your gift of $28 to the ministry, please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $33. That's $28 for the book. And again, now this book is 330 pages long. Very long book. $28 plus $5 shipping and handling. Please send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to our website, that's powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com, and order this book. In fact, it's on the front page. It's there, and click and use your charge card or use PayPal and get this book. We've got a number of them in because I know that once I tell you about this book, you're going to want it. And I just thought, well, it's another book on 9/11. It's another book on Oklahoma City bombing. It's another book on the JFK assassination. But this is one book in all. I mean, this is it. This is like an encyclopedia, except it doesn't give you all of the facts. It gives you the pertinent facts about these cases. Remember, this is by Michael Collins Piper, the man who wrote Final Judgment, that put the nail in the coffin of the Israeli Mossad. Oh, of course, Lyndon Johnson was involved. No doubt about that. Of course, the CIA had their input. Of course, the mafia was involved. Of course, the Jews were involved. Jack Rubinstein, or Jack Ruby, was indeed a Jew. But all of these forces working together, all of them were working together. And you'll find out just who really murdered JFK. You know, recently a television special was aired, and they had been hiding this video for all of these years. It was Jacqueline Kennedy. And she talked about her husband's murder, assassination, and she said, I believe it was a conspiracy. Now, they didn't want that out there. The U.S. government would not allow you. You say, well, no, wait. Didn't the television news network have that video in their files? Aren't they the ones that kept it? Of course they did. But they would not allow it. They did not want you to know that the First Lady herself, who was highly respected, Jackie Kennedy, they did not want you to know that she knew. She said, my husband was killed due to a conspiracy. And I don't believe that video was accurate anyway. I think it was hacked into pieces and then all put together. I believe she knew the name of the man who killed her husband. She knew all about it. The Kennedys knew. And they were frightened to death that they were going to be next. First they killed John Kennedy. Then they killed his brother, Bobby Kennedy. Of course they were afraid. And since then they went on to kill John Kennedy Jr. In an aircraft crash there outside of New York City. He was going to run for U.S. Senator. Guess who was going to run against him? Hillary Rodham Clinton. But he died. He and his wife died. Was that an accident? Friends, too many accidents are happening now. False flags. Template for terror. $28 plus $5 shipping and handling. You can phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, and use your charge card. Call us anytime during the day, the work day, Monday through Friday here at Power Prophecy, and a very friendly receptionist who loves you very much will take your call, and you can place your order through her or him. Okay, let's return to our program today. I am Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We only have about 15 minutes left, so let's get right to it. Now, it's been a couple years ago since I learned from my good friend Alex Jones that there have been many, many conspiracies against the American citizens by our own government. And let's just go, and by the way, Michael Collins Piper talks about a lot of these. Way long before 9/11, in fact, that very year, 2001, let's just get to that because this is very important. A best-selling author, James Bamford, released his great book, Body of Secrets. This is a thoroughly mainstream history of the National Security Agency. And evidently, this is the first time they actually decided to put out, to let you know just a little bit about the National Security Agency. Now, Bamford revealed that in January of 1961, top U.S. policymakers were actually favorably considering a horrific scheme to launch terrorist attacks on American citizens and point the finger of blame at Fidel Castro's communist Cuba. Now, ask yourself why this little nation, you know, of a few million people on an island 90 miles from Miami, Florida, What were they doing that we were worried about? Well, you have to understand, when Castro took power, he closed down all of the casinos, all of the prostitution, all of the gambling. Who ran that? Who ran that? Who headed the casinos? Who conducted the gambling operations and the prostitution and the corruption that was under the former dictator Batista? His name, of course, well, many names, all Jewish. The Jews fled Cuba. And Castro himself is a Jew, but he decided to betray them, and he kicked them all out. He closed down all the casinos. No more, he said. Now, here's what Bamford wrote, and he had the documents to prove it, the documents. He said that the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman, Army General Lyman Limnitzer, now remember that name, Lyman Limnitzer, he was head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he was Jewish. He proposed secretly to stage an attack on the naval base at Guantanamo, Cuba, and blame it all on Castro and the Cubans. He said, we will send in army forces, we will send in navy forces and so forth, and kill our own people and blame it on Castro. He wanted to launch a war, kill many American servicemen based on a fabric of lies. Wow. Now, Limnitzer was called the imaginative planner, wasn't he ever? Now, he reinvigorated his scheme during the Kennedy administration, and he called it Operation Northwoods. Now, in his book, Body of Secrets, Bamford lays out the shocking parameters of this high-level plan. For false flag attacks, Bamford says the plan, which had, now get this, the written approval of the chairman and every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, every member, and I assume that's the Chief of Staff of the U.S. Air Force that I work for as well, called for innocent people to be shot on American streets, boats carrying refugees fleeing Cuba to be sunk on the high seas with all hands aboard lost, called for a wave of violent terrorism to be launched on the streets and in the buildings of Washington, D.C., Miami, and elsewhere. People would be framed for bombings they did not commit. Airplanes would be hijacked, lost at sea, using phony evidence created by the Defense Department, the State Department, and other U.S. bureaus. All of this would be blamed on Castro. This would give Limnitzer and his cabal the excuse as well as the public and international backing. That's important now. They needed to launch their war. We want a war. We want to bring back all the casinos and the prostitution and the whoremongering and all the horrors we had there under the Jews. We want to put the Jews back in power. This is how we'll do it. Kill Americans. Bomb Americans. Sink our own ships. Shoot down our airplanes. Kill people in the streets of Washington, D.C., Miami, elsewhere. And every member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Curtis LeMay too, in the Air Force, they all signed on to it. This was not a wild scheme, friends, by bombers in some Middle Eastern training camp. This wasn't, you know, Osama bin Laden. And by the way, this book reveals that Osama bin Laden, of course, worked for the U.S. CIA. And they didn't even know who the guy was when 9/11 happened. They didn't know who he was throughout the Middle East. He was a fiction created. He was almost a cartoon character. Have you noticed they're not building statues of Osama bin Laden in the cities in Cairo, in Saudi Arabia, in Iran, Iraq? They're not building statues to him. They're not teaching in the schools what a great hero Osama bin Laden was. Why is that? He ought to be the greatest hero ever. Look what he did to America. They know it was a big fake. They know that Osama bin Laden didn't do that. But the minute 9/11 occurred, we had Osama. We pulled him out of the shadows. We pulled off the curtain. There he was, Osama bin Laden. And with every videotape we had, the guy became more heroic, more great, more, you know, it was pure nonsense. Well, he goes on. This is just one thing that this book will tell you about. And, you know, it also talks about the CIA. The deputy chief of the CIA was a man named James Jesus Angleton. It turns out that he was a Soviet communist agent. I mean, you have to, I mean, Soviet agents didn't know this. And they fled over to the U.S. side. They wanted to tell all, they wanted to tell the American CIA, the American authorities, everything they knew about Russia. They were arrested by the Americans, taken away, never heard from again. Because the KGB was cooperating with the CIA. And we thought they were all fighting each other at the time. It was a big hoax. Let me say this on this book. It's made me realize. And by the way, I want to say that on pages 192, 193, and on, there's all the information about Israel involvement in 9/11, including the special report with Britt Hume on Fox News, in which reporter Carl Cameron unveiled the wide-ranging Israeli espionage. There's the dancing Israelis and everything that they did, and it's just amazing. Now, let me tell you what this makes me think about. Everything seems to be a mirage. We are in a matrix. Did you see the movie Matrix? It was sort of a hokum, silly movie. That's the reason I didn't like it. I only watched little bits and pieces of it. Everybody said, watch the whole thing. It's a great movie. Well, I watched enough to understand what they were trying to get across to us. That what we're seeing is not reality. Everything is being stage managed. Now, I wrote about this in my book, Codex Magica. And I think Codex Magica is having a great impact. A wonderful impact. And people are writing me from all over the world telling me what it's meant to them to read and to analyze and understand what I say in Codex Magica. You'll see all of the actual pictures of the Illuminati elite doing things, stage managing certain things. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you're immersed. You're flooded with lies by the government. We see this. It's no surprise that Barack Obama said 29 or 30 times, if you like your current medical insurance program or plan, you can keep it. If you like your current doctor, you can keep him. Of course, all that was nonsense. He knew it was a lie he was telling people. But this is what he needed to win the election. These lies are what's needed. Everything is stage managed. We have a woman, she's for partial birth abortion here in Texas, running for governor named Wendy Davis. And it recently came out, she's written a book about herself, and she's getting money from all the abortion monsters across the United States to run for the governor of Texas. Her name is Wendy Davis, this blonde. And they say her whole book is a bunch of fiction and lies. That's what all of these people do. Friends, it doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, or I suppose Libertarian. I mean, they're lying when their lips are moving, as the old saying goes. But they've created this fiction for us. They've created this wonderful place, America. And the whole world is against us. And we're exceptional. We're special. We would be God's chosen, but we've taken another people, the Khazars, from Russia, yes, from southern Russia, and moved them into Israel in 1948, and they have become the monsters who are killing true Jews, the Palestinians. Those are God's chosen people. We now have a great conspiracy of the United States and the devil's chosen, the Israeli people, working together to destroy the whole world, to deceive the whole world. This is why the Bible says the Antichrist, he will use craft, witchcraft. He will understand dark sentences. Think about that. He will understand dark sentences that cloud your mind. You want to believe him. You will believe him. He's president of the United States. Yes, you're a lie. He's a liar, but you, well, surely he's got to be better than that. Surely this or that. We now know that the United States, since World War II, has directed this global operation. The Europeans have gone along with it. The Chinese have gone along with it. Everyone has gone along with it. Even the opposition is planned under the Hegelian dialectic. So there will be two sides. So there will always be this conflict going on. So we will always be stuck in the matrix, wondering where the next false flag will occur. Will it be a nuclear bomb on American soil? Will it be an aircraft that explodes in the middle of the air from a terrorist bomb? What will it be? Will it be some hazard materials truck that explodes because of a terrorist attack? Where and what and how will the next false flag occur? And they've got us going around in circles like little jacks in the box. Now listen, friends. They create this. They've even got a office in all of these places. I told you about Cass Sunstein. They implement things. They put them in our minds. We're in the matrix. Here's how to get out of the matrix. Don't believe anything you read. Or at least believe maybe 5%. Read everything skeptically. Wake up in the morning saying, I'm not going to believe these lying jackals. And read your Holy Bible. That's right. Read the Holy Bible. There's the truth. There will be people lying about that. They'll say, oh, you can't believe that. That's been changed. This council, that council changed it. Read the King James Bible. It's true. It'll inform you. It'll tell you what's going to happen. It'll tell you about the synagogue of Satan. It'll tell you about the Antichrist and his deceit and his corruption and how the whole world will take the mark, except those who know Jesus Christ as Lord, except those who keep their hearts pure. You're not perfect. I know that. But you want to do what's right. You want to be a good citizen. You want to be even a good world citizen. We can only be that by being Christians, by being, yes, generous with others, by being kind and meek, but always being watchful. Always not distrusting our wives, our loved ones. No, no, no. We've got to have trust. We've got to love and count on them. But as far as the government goes, as far as those officials in the matrix, discount most of what they say. Stick with true Christian principles, my friend. Stick with righteousness. You know all this morality, all this homosexuality. It's all stage managed. It's all created to destroy you, to pollute you and your family. Have nothing to do with it. Tell your children the evils that they're going to be facing in this society. Don't do so panic-stricken and frightened, but just simply as a matter of fact. This is what they need to know. This is what you need to know. You can escape the matrix. You will never even immerse yourself into the matrix. And you can do so simply with a prayer to Jesus Christ, asking him to keep you from the pollution of this world. And he will do it. Until next time, friends, I'm Tex Mars. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.